This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. John Kennedy was named executive director of Cincinnati's Citizen Complaint Authority in August, taking the helm of one of the nation's oldest police oversight boards. He joins me now to talk about the board, its work, and its relationship with the Cincinnati Police Department. Welcome to the program, John.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. For people who aren't familiar with it, explain what the Citizen Complaint Authority is, when it was established, how it operates.
The CCA came about from a federal lawsuit in the early 2000s that was initiated because of a string of police actions. And through that came a collaborative agreement, of which CCA is one part. And that is an organization that oversees police actions. We investigate police, serious police interventions, use of force, deaths in custody, shots fired, things like that. But also we address any complaints that citizens have that maybe are beyond those serious police interventions, things like improper stops, searches, seizures, discrimination.
Gotcha. So as the name implies, if a citizen, a resident of Cincinnati, has a concern about an interaction with police, your organization is the place they turn to lodge that complaint.
Absolutely. They can email, call, just show up. We have people in any mode that you could complain, we will eventually get it and we will address it.
Okay. Tell us about your background and why you were interested in this job.
Well, prior to taking over this job, I spent my entire career in the criminal defense world. I started in the PD's office as my first job in 2011.
That's Public Defender's Office,
yes.
I guess.
Okay. I apologize That's for the okay. acronyms. I started at the Public Defender's Office in 2011. And I spent the most recent 6 years as the director of the Common Pleas Division. So I oversaw all the attorneys that did all the felony appointments in Hamilton County. So moving from that role to this role is a change that I think very much suits my skill set. And I had done, I think, all I could do at the PD's office. I was able to expand staff, increase salaries and things like that within the felony division. And I was looking for a new challenge. And the more I heard about the CCA, the more I felt that the skills I had, the experience I had, would be advantageous and beneficial to the CCA, and that I could do good things there and address issues that I was told were outstanding and address complaints in a way that, coming from a place of understanding, knowing that I've dealt with police-civilian interactions my whole career, in the criminal law space in that regard, but this is a different role, but very similar experiences.
Yeah, a different role. And, you know, as you said, the organization will investigate these complaints that citizens lodge. So what's the CCA's relationship with the Cincinnati Police Department and the FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police?
We work collaboratively with CPD. It is something that we are both obviously independent. We are impartial, the CCA is. But it is something that is a collaborative nature. It's not adversarial like a criminal court system, and we are just there to be independent and impartial and try to address any concerns, complaints, or police actions in a way that is impartial and look to policies and procedures, the rules and regulations in place, and address the action and apply those policies and see if they were followed and the action that was taken was done pursuant to policies.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned it's not, the relationship isn't adversarial. The FOP has been critical of the board in the past. In particular, former FOP President Dan Hills accused the board of not allowing police to make their own recordings of interviews with investigators. That led to a policy change or a policy clarification. He also said the board's lack of professionalism resulted in passive policing and, at the time, record murder rates. What's your relationship with the FOP in particular now? What are you hearing from the union since taking on this job?
Well, President Ken Kober of the FOP reached out early on, and I sat down and had a productive conversation with him. And I'm very much someone who believes in just picking up the phone. And Ken knows that he can call me anytime if there's an issue outstanding. The CPD individuals who are connected with CCA are always willing and able to give me a call, and I'm allowed, or I'm willing to address any issues that arise. In terms of that policy change, we email police officers the recordings as soon as the interview is done, and we are happy to address those concerns and try to change policies, because nothing is written in stone as to what we can and cannot do in terms of things like recording interviews and sharing interviews and things like that. But I'm very much a just pick up the phone and talk to me, and I'm happy to try to address it or explain to you why the policy is what it is.
And I know you've only been in the job a short time, but has that been working so far, do you think, that pick up the phone approach?
Yes, it has. I think Lieutenant McCurley, who is associated with CCA, he's part of IIS. So many acronyms.
Yeah.
The Internal Investigation Section.
Gotcha.
Of
okay.
The Cincinnati Police Department. Mm-hmm. He's someone I've probably had half a dozen conversations with in the past week. When there's a shots fired that comes up, he calls me. We text about it and try to address, identify where it is and where we should report. And also things like making sure that we are getting all the notifications through the emergency communications system that we should be getting. There was a hole there that we were able to address in a timely manner, and he followed up and made sure that we are able to be notified on everything that we need to be notified on so we can go to the scene and start our investigations.
Okay. I'm talking with John Kennedy, the executive director of Cincinnati's Citizen Complaint Authority. Do you have questions or comments for him? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Now, the CCA has made multiple recommendations to the police department over the life of the organization, but the department doesn't always follow those recommendations. I'm thinking of this definition of harassment that the CCA has asked for in the past, so that when a citizen complains that a police officer is harassing them, you have that written down so you know, is that the case or not. Considering all that, can you talk about some of those policies that have been implemented, some that haven't, and just what that says about the effectiveness of the organization?
Well, I mean, you pointed out one relatively recent issue that we've been able to address, the definition of harassment. That has been something that has been kind of at an impasse for years. I know at least as far back as 2023, there was this dispute as to whether harassment needed definition. And what I decided to do as of the board meeting at the beginning of September was to define harassment for the purposes of the CCA, because we've gotten hundreds of allegations of harassment. And without a workable definition, it's very difficult to address those concerns that civilians have. And what I aim to show in defining it is that there is a workable definition, there is a way to address this, and CPD's position has always been that it is already addressed by the policies that do exist. And I think by defining it with the CCA, and when incidents come up that need to be investigated, we can see if our definition addresses the issue. Although our definition is in no way binding on CPD, it at least demonstrates a willingness to address those concerns. And I think it also opens up a dialogue, because we, as of when I defined it at that board meeting, we had never had a written response from CPD as to what their position actually was in terms of defining harassment, other than they didn't feel like it was necessary. And within a week, Lieutenant McCurley sent me the written response to CPD's position on our recommendation as to harassment. And now we can start a dialogue. And I think recommendations, even if they're not followed, can still start a conversation and lead to change. And part of that is demonstrating that the things we are recommending have a basis and a reason for, and why that is something in context maybe is not this specific incident. It is a broader pattern of behavior, because every time there's a recommendation, the incident is one where the first question is this an isolated incident or is this a pattern? Is this a pattern with this officer, or is this a pattern that is more systemic in nature? And is this incident and the issue addressed by current policies and procedures. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe if CCA can do a better job of kind of contextualizing our recommendation in a broader scope, in a pattern of behavior, that it will have more effect and be more persuasive when it comes to CPD's willingness to accept those recommendations. But they have accepted recommendations in the past. I know one in particular is the initiating body-worn camera video recording for desk officers in the districts. That was something that wasn't part of the policy. CCA made that recommendation, and that was accepted by CPD, and that is now policy. And so it's always about starting the conversations and trying to point out what issues need to be addressed and whether or not they are addressed with current policies.
So where does that conversation stand when it comes to this definition of harassment now? You mentioned that you said, hey, this is the definition the CCA is going to use, and you heard back immediately from your contact at the police department. Where has that gone at this point?
Well, we can address what their concerns are. And CPD's concerns are, first and foremost, they believe it's already addressed within the policies that exist. And I think, coming from a legal background, if it's not defined, it's very difficult to do any type of addressing an issue that's outstanding. But CPD also has a concern that it is going to somehow curtail legitimate police action. And the definition that I've put forward in no way curtails legitimate police action. It, by its very definition, it's illegitimate police action for no legitimate purpose. So anytime there is some sort of criminal activity, the police can respond, and it's not going to be harassment. It only comes to patterned conduct that is without a legitimate purpose. And I think that is something where we disagree as to the whether it's limiting on police. And they're concerned about it limiting police's legitimate actions, where by its definition, it will never do that. And so I'm hoping that we have further conversations, and I believe we will, about what we can make more workable to address these allegations of harassment, because we've had hundreds in the past 5 or 6 years.
You mentioned patterns, and I know another recommendations that has come up in the past is related to pattern officers. And these are officers, as I understand it, who you track by a number, a badge number, I guess, not by their names necessarily, but who you get complaints, a lot of complaints or a number of complaints, so similar complaints about these specific officers. And I believe the CCA has recommended in the past that CPD initiate a performance review when you see this pattern with officers. Where does that stand? Is that something that you think Cincinnati police are open to?
In terms of a general performance review for the entire department, I have not had any indication that they are looking to make that change. But in terms of patterned officers and the way CCA identifies a patterned officer, it is when there are 3 or more complaints within a 3-year period.
Okay.
And for example, there, I think the 2024 patterns report is still being finalized, just needs the final sign-offs. But there is an officer who has 16 complaints in the past 3 years that include 48 different allegations. And that's something that needs to be addressed. And I think will be addressed and has been addressed historically when those patterns exist. But without being able to put a incident in a larger context, it's very difficult to address these more systemic issues.
Okay. Well, we'll continue this conversation after a short break, and later in the program, we'll hear tips for navigating the Pokemon card shortage. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation with John Kennedy, the executive director of Cincinnati's Citizen Complaint Authority. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We did get a call just a minute or two ago from Kathy, who couldn't stay on the line, but she called to ask about surveillance technology used by police. She asked about audio surveillance used by police and if there's a way to make that more transparent. Is that something you all have looked at with the CCA?
I would have a question for Kathy about in what context she's speaking, because I know that body-worn camera, which has been a part of CPD's uniform and policy since 2015, has audio and video recording. I know the police cruisers have audio and video recording. If there's a specific instance where there is just audio recording that is beyond those, I'm happy to talk about it, but I would ask for more detail, and I would ask Kathy, if she's still listening, to give me a call.
Okay.
Just call the CCA. I'm happy to talk to you about it.
Yeah. Well, our associate producer who spoke with her said this is related to surveillance in streetlights. Is that something?
I have no knowledge of any surveillance in streetlights or audio recording in streetlights.
Okay.
There are video cameras, city cams that are up and about in Cincinnati, but those do not have audio recording. They would just be visual. And they're usually pretty high up, at least a couple stories high.
Okay. Okay. Well, and again, as you said, if Kathy has more information, she should give you a call at the Citizen Complaint Authority. We also got an email from Steve in Oakley. His email references videos that surfaced over the earlier this year of Iris Rowley, a consultant for the city, and her interactions with police. There were some criticisms of the way she interacted with police. What, if any, impact does that kind of thing have on the work that you do at the CCA and your interactions with CPD, the Cincinnati Police Department?
It doesn't really have any impact on my relationship or CCA's relationship with CPD. Iris is someone that I've known for years and was in this world and part of the collaborative agreement since the beginning. So she has much more experience than I do about the history of policing in Cincinnati. But in terms of that affecting CCA, she doesn't have a role with CCA. She gives her opinions and her insights, which I'm happy to take at any time. And I know she speaks in board meetings, but in terms of somehow souring the relationship between CCA and CPD, I've had no indication of that. And CPD has never once brought up Iris Rowley to me as anything of a concern between the two of us.
Okay. Well, what we talked about, these recommendations that the Citizen Complaint Authority makes to the Cincinnati Police Department, some that have been adopted that you referenced, some that are still works in progress. What are your strategies for making the CCA more effective?
A couple different things. One, in terms of the recommendations in particular, I think it is CCA needs to do a better job of making recommendations that have more of a historical context. Because oftentimes, when you're in a world for a long period of time, you drop out a lot of the foundational knowledge that you have and you know the other party has that maybe the public at large does not have. And I think maybe better illustrating why this recommendation is being made and why this is a pattern of conduct that maybe transcends this officer is going to be more effective in terms of addressing those issues that are outstanding. Also, I think it educates the public as to why the recommendation is being made and makes it clear what happened, what recommendation is being made, and what effect we think that recommendation will have. But in terms of effectiveness, I think that is first and foremost when it comes to recommendations. But I think one of the things that I seek to do is increase the education in the community at large as to the CCA. I will be honest, I've worked a couple blocks down the street for over a decade, and I couldn't tell you at this time last year what CCA did on a day-to-day basis. I was unaware of it, and it came in a world where there was police-civilian interaction all the time. So I can't imagine how little is known by the community at large, and I am seeking to have more conversations with the community to both educate them on what CCA does, what we don't do, but also hear any concerns they have or any recommendations they have. Because a lot of times I think people stop asking, people stop calling when they think no one's listening, and part of that is getting out in the community.
Yeah.
But I think that will increase our effectiveness as well.
So how would you characterize the CCA's relationship with the public? And do you think, you know, you mentioned more education. Are there other ways that you'd like to see that change or evolve or improve?
I think board meetings, I've been trying to revamp board meetings in a way that I think will be clearer for the public at large when they come to board meetings or when they're watching on the stream. And trying to be clearer about describing the incident that took place and why certain findings were the way they were. And I think that's something that will increase the public's understanding of how this issue was addressed, but also increase their belief and faith in CCA that their issues will be addressed. And I think changing up board meetings and making them clearer, and also potentially bringing in videos that are relevant for the specific cases to try to illustrate what's going on, because it's very difficult to accurately understand a circumstance that happened if there's no video, even though CPD obviously has seen the video and we've seen the video. But describing it doesn't always do it justice. And things like that, I think, will help increase both the public knowledge, but also the public's faith that CCA is here to address any concerns and complaints they might have.
Are there any other areas that you think the CCA will need to address based on your work as a public defender in terms of police community relations or, you know, what you learned from your previous life that you're bringing into this one?
Well, there's so little conversation between the criminal world and CCA when it comes to allegations. I know when I was a public defender, I was guilty of telling individuals like, hey, wait till our criminal case is over and then file a complaint if you want to. That oftentimes just delays things unnecessarily. And that is a circumstance where I know when I was in the public defender's office, there were concerns that they had that CCA was unaware of. There were cases that they pointed out as conduct they thought violated police policy that CCA didn't know anything about. And just trying to open up that dialogue and address that in a way that both is more responsive for individuals, but also educational for the public defenders themselves. Because I know I wasn't the only one who was unaware of how we could work better with CCA.
Let me ask you about this. There's been a lot of discussion this summer about crime in Cincinnati, crime rates, the perception of crime, how the city is addressing crime and public safety. The mayor recently said the police will be charging people with low-level crimes. A few weeks ago, Police Chief Thiege referred to smoking marijuana in public as an example of that. Do you think, or do you have any concerns that this could lead to problems between citizens and police officers?
Unfortunately, CCA is always an organization that is independent and impartial and cannot really advocate for changes in law enforcement policies or actions. But what we can do is address any concerns, complaints that do arise from this. I don't know if any will, but we can only address them after they happen rather than try to caution the public at large for what could happen.
Okay. Don't have a crystal ball, I guess, huh?
I do not.
Okay. Well, another thing I want to ask you, Corey Bowman, the Republican candidate for mayor, has said the collaborative agreement has been weaponized against police officers. Do you have thoughts about that?
I would want more context on why he thinks it is being weaponized. If it's, I can address the CCA in general, and the CCA, obviously, one of our mandates is always to be impartial and independent. And so we do not have any advocacy position for trying to advocate on behalf of police officers or advocate on behalf of citizens. All we can do is address the issues that are outstanding. I think it does a disservice to our police department to think that somehow something like the CCA would ever limit their ability to do their job. I've not heard an officer ever say, my concern about the CCA would have done whatever I needed to do. They understand, they're trained well. They know that this is the policy, this is the procedure, this is what my training tells me to do. And if the officer follows that, they will never have an issue with CCA. because we are only addressing violations of the policies, not police action if it follows policy.
Well, the CCA has been dealing with investigator turnover in recent years, a backlog of cases. Can you talk about briefly about the reasons behind that turnover and where you stand with the backlog?
Well, as the newest person, I guess my knowledge as to the turnover is limited only to the conversations I've had. Any organization that has a high turnover, we need to look at why that is. And I've had conversations with the individuals within CCA as to why the certain people left. And being an investigator in CCA is a tough job. Oftentimes you have a citizen who is very upset about an incident, but also you have an officer who might be frustrated that their actions are being questioned. I think that that is something that can be challenging. It can be emotionally taxing for a investigator to be constantly, you know, have upset people. And I know that a lot of the turnover was the first year or two. I know most of our investigators are past their two-year point, but it is something that oftentimes we were having investigators who applied and were hired who maybe didn't really understand the job before they were hired and felt dissatisfied with what the job actually entailed. And I am very much an open door leader. If there's an issue, I want to talk about it. There's never anything that you can tell me that is going to be bad or that I'm going to retaliate or resent that you need to tell me. Because the only issues that really cause problems are those that aren't talked about. And they fester in an office and create a very poisonous situation. But in terms of the backlog, I can tell you that that has been something that CCA has been working on for some time. In 2022, I know there were 129 cases that were over 90 days old that were open. As of this past week, the last time I looked at the report, there were 33 cases that were past that. And that number keeps going down. And the only reason it's taken this time is because, you know, for instance, this year alone, we've had 92 new cases opened. So we are constantly getting cases and closing old cases. But there are a couple of things that have delayed cases that I think we can address. But my goal is to have all the cases investigated and reports finished within 90 days per the collaborative agreement.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with Citizen Complaint Authority Executive Director John Kennedy. Thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, have you been looking for Pokemon cards everywhere? We discuss the reasons behind the shortage. This is Cincinnati Edition.